Okay. We are in Heavenly Places, page 30, if you actually have the book. It's a devotional, if you're new. And this one's titled, A Little Heaven Here. And it's, of course, dated January 24th, because that's today's date, which reminds me, I put the wrong date on the website for the Sabbath. I thought this Sabbath was the 24th. It's actually today. I don't care. No one's yelled at me yet. All right. And this is what it says. She starts off quoting from Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, and it says, Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And especially amen for today's world, because you do not want to have the character of the lost when those plagues hit. Because his wrath is going to fall on this planet. And unless you're one of his, you're in a heap of trouble. And nothing can stop. Even hiding under a mountain is going to stop you from his wrath, hide you from his wrath. Even though they'll try it. I mean, as a matter of fact, they're already trying it now. Isn't it amazing how Christian prophecy is so accurate like that? And I hate using the word accurate because it's too trivial to compare with the truth as it is in prophecy. I mean, it doesn't even come anywhere near it. But I did that video years ago. Well, I don't know, years ago. It was probably about a year and a half ago. About they're actually selling apartments and condominiums and entire homes underground. And some of them are actually in mountains or old missile silos. And they're even advertising it as Escape the... Some of them, like the one I put in the video, they actually... The advertisement was reading Escape the Apocalypse. You know, hide in a mountain. Just like the prophecy said they would do. And still, people think Christians are idiots. Yeah, well, they're going to... And they're still going to... Well, to be honest, that's one of the reasons for the gnashing of the teeth thing, you know, because they want that tree of life in the city, but they can't stand the Christians that are in that city. And, but still they want it, and they're gnashing their teeth knowing that they're going to die any minute because all their self-deceptions are wiped away on that day. That's, of course, I'm speaking of the end of the 1,000 years. Even at that time, when they have all that evidence before them, and all the people that tried their best in their lifetime to reach them are going to be inside the city, and they can see them perfectly, face-to-face, more or less. I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but I'll imagine they can see them. Just like when we're sitting at the table for the first time. Miles and miles long the table is, but yet we could see each other as if it's no problem. So I don't know what he's going to do with our eyeballs, but it's going to work out great. You know, you can see a lot better than you can now. But anyway, she goes on to say, In view of what is soon to come upon the earth, I entreat you, brethren and sisters, to walk before God in all meekness and lowliness of mind, remembering the care that Jesus has for you. All the meek of the earth are exhorted to seek him. Let self break in pieces before God. It is hard to do this, but we are warned to fall upon the rock and be broken, else it will fall on us and grind us to powder. It is to the humble in heart that Jesus speaks. His everlasting arms encircle them, and he will not leave them to perish by the hands of the wicked. So amen and amen. And even the plagues, no plague will come nigh thy dwelling, as we know in the book of Psalms. And so it's just an amazing promise that we have before us. And even if you have to take a nap before he gets here, even if you are martyred, this is one of the reasons I pray daily, well, morning, noon, and night, of course, like Daniel and David, as well as reading the scriptures now. I'm trying to do it 3 times daily. Sometimes I do it twice, but I definitely always do it every morning. You know, that's what I've been doing 30-some-odd years. So, but one of the reasons I do that is so I'll have the faith. If the Lord would have me sleep before he gets here, like if I'm not going to be part of the Gideon band, I want to be able to have no desire in my life, in my mind whatsoever, for my life, if it means to give up my Lord, you know, to deny him. I would not do that, you know. Like when it comes to the mark of the beast, if they, you know, they're sticking a gun in my face kind of a thing, or the guillotine or whatever the case may be. And like at this point now, it doesn't scare me. I'm figuring, you're going to actually let me take a nap through all this? Well, that's kind of answer to prayer. But I'm not, of course, I'm not going to say that out loud. But, you know, being able to die, you know, not having to deal with all what's going on. Like my wife and I were talking about this the other, actually yesterday, about, and this topic came up, of course, 4 years ago when my dad died. And how blessed some people are to actually die before all this stuff gets crazy. Literally. I says, you are so blessed. You don't have to. Because some people look at death in the weirdest ways, I got to tell you. But the prophecy is clear. A lot of people are going to be dying before Jesus gets here because they can't handle what's about to happen. And they'll die in the strangest ways, or even martyrdom. We saw what happened in Noah's day because a lot of people were ready to get on that ark. I mean, Sister White goes into detail about that in one of her other books. I mean, it's pretty obvious that there were going to be a lot more people than eight on the ark. I wouldn't say millions, but, you know. There was, you know, quite a few people that did help Noah and his family, but they weren't able to get on the ark for whatever reason. The Lord, I gave him Methuselah, 969 years old. He died right before the ark took off. And so, it's the same thing is happening now. You're going to see people just dying. And as Christians that believe, Christians that understand that dying is like taking a nap. And that's why I use that one graphic in my State of the Dead video where you got that little kid made out of stone on a gravesite. Because that really helps parents, too, that have lost children. Because I remember one time I ran into this couple that just lost a baby, and this was years ago, I was doing building maintenance. And I shared with them what the Bible said about the state of the dead, and it really, you could just see the weight lift off of them. Because everybody's taught to think that the little Johnny's running around in limbo somewhere screaming, Mommy, Mommy! You know, no, he's not. He's sleeping. He doesn't even know he's dead. And a lot of people miss this, too. They think death is scary and it's painful. It says, really? I think childbirth is a lot worse. Because a lot of, you know, 99% of the people out there, when they die, there's not a lot of pain involved. It's like drifting off to sleep. It really isn't that scary. But even there, that doesn't give the that doesn't settle the heart of those that are non-believers. But for a Christian, it's just icing on the cake knowing, okay, first of all, it's no big deal to die in the first place, but the second of all, when I do finally open up my eyes, I'm going to see my Lord and my Savior, and this is what I lived for, this for all these years as a Christian. So, amen. So, anyway, she goes on to say, what is it to be a Christian? It is to be Christ-like. It is to do the works of Christ. Some fail on one point, some on another. Some are naturally impatient. Satan understands their weaknesses. Or weakness, and manages to overcome them again and again. And boy, we all know that, right? It's one of the reasons I can't wait to get off this fertile soil, if you will, because the further we get from the planet, well, the minute we step off the planet, of course, all those little whispers of temptations in our minds by the devil, I mean, he can't hear your thoughts, but he can certainly throw them in there just by whispering, of course. They're gone after that day. And then a lot of the self-deception is wiped off on us, too, as well. It makes it that much easier to understand the word when we get home. And just think about it. If you, especially if you've quit watching TV and especially if you quit watching movies. Because this is what I experienced. And me and Fran were talking about this earlier, too. Something I experienced over the years. When I quit the TVs, and I never read novels, right? Even when I was in high school, because they asked you to read novels. Like, I remember The Red Badge of Courage or something like that. They wanted us to read it. Never did. I never, ever read a novel in my life. I always thought that was mind-numbingly boring to read books. Even though I couldn't get my face out of computer books for some reason, and then when I became a Christian, the Bible. But the Bible becomes, it's literally, you know, some people are looking forward to do something every single day, like even if it's a good meal, oh boy, I can't wait to eat. I'm not kidding you, this is how when I get up in the morning, I can't wait to get to the Bible. This is like, what are you going to show me today? And if I hadn't quit watching all those TVs and stuff like that, the Bible would have still been kind of like, yeah, you know, yeah, okay, I understand its truth, yeah, I love it. And I, you know, I do understand it to some extent. I mean, I can understand maybe 30% of it. But it wasn't that exciting to me. But now it's like, wow, has he made it literally the highlight of my day? And this is where we all got to get so that when we, you know, and I got to get a lot more, of course, in that position as well. Because I know I'm not the only one, because I know some of you, you love reading the Bible too. And but it gets better. I know it's going to get better because if it's gotten this good, what I've been experiencing recently, I know it's going to get much, much better. And when I think about that, because you got to think, okay, we're going to go into eternity and it's never going to end. yet we're going to be studying the Bible throughout all eternity. I mean, sooner or later, we're going to get to the point where, okay, I've read that before, you know, but no. I know I've read the Bible at least 30 times now. Well, maybe more, because I, you know, it takes you about 9 months to read the Bible cover to cover. If you do, I don't know. There's these ways about reading the Bible in a year, but I don't like doing it their way because you're jumping all over the place. I go from cover to cover, except for Psalms and Proverbs and Daniel. Psalms and Proverbs, I read every single day, and then, of course, I read the other ones cover to cover. And then Daniel, I'll read Daniel, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a month. That's what I'm trying to do right now. I'm trying to just do Daniel over and over and over and over and over. And but when you think about it, even though as many times as I'm reading it, I'm still, like today, I'm in Daniel chapter 7 again, boom, put more notes in. It's just more stuff comes to mind. And when you get into the kingdom, and it's a trillion years into it, you're going to see the inner means by which he wrote these things and the reasons for them. I mean, we're going to be able to dissect the word. I mean, you think it was exciting when you were a kid dissecting, well, I really didn't like the idea of dissecting frogs. I used to like to catch them when I was a kid and play with them, you know. But here in biology, they're making us rip these little poor little guys open. And what I didn't like, though, is the teacher actually killed one to show us how to do it. And I said, you know, anyway, if you thought that was exciting, dissecting the word a trillion years from now is going to be... Plus, you're going to have a brain that's working perfectly. Retention, memory, focus. Oh, it's just going to be... It's like... Oh, I can't even imagine. But anyway, she goes on to say, but let none be discouraged by this. Oh, let me backtrack, because that didn't end that little statement I was saying well. So let me backtrack. It says, some are naturally impatient. Satan understands their weakness and manages to overcome them again and again. But let none be discouraged by this. Whenever little annoyances and trials arise, ask God in silent prayer to give you strength and grace to bear them patiently. And he will, and that's literally, ask him, and watch for his hand moving. You know, ask him, like in certain areas where you're having difficulties, whether it be trying to quit smoking or whatever it is, ask him to remind you every time you go to pick up a cigarette. Do you really want it? You know, or help me to, or if you ask him to help you not get angry if somebody that always pushes your buttons steps into the room. And you'll literally be reminded every time, hey, you asked me to remind you, well, I'm doing it. That's what he'll do. And it's really, really amazing how your patience grows, your peace, your gentleness, and people see this too. They'll be moved by it. So she goes on to say, there is a power in silence. Do not speak a word until you have sent up your petition to God, to the God of heaven. I know everybody else says count to 10. Forget that. Throw up a prayer. Do it that way. It's better. She says, if you will always do this, you will soon overcome your hasty temper, and you will have a little heaven here to go to heaven in. Well, that's pretty neat. So I guess that's why they titled it the way they did. And you will have a little heaven here to go to heaven in. So that's a good reminder. I never thought of, you know, in that way, but this, especially if you got a problem with anger, try this. And I know it'll work. Well, you got to know it'll work. I mean, she's a prophet, so it's got to work. Anyway, she goes on to say that God wants his people to cleanse their hands and purify their hearts. Will it make them unhappy to do this? Will it bring unhappiness into their families if they are kind and patient, courteous and forbearing? Well, far from it. The kindness they manifest towards their families will be reflected upon themselves. This is the work that could be carried forward in the home. If the members of a family are not prepared to dwell in peace here, they are not prepared to dwell in the family that shall gather around the great white throne. And this is what I've been saying for literally decades, ever since I became a Christian, especially when I'm talking to people that are racist. I says, you can't get along with people down here just because of an epidural color. I mean, if you can't get along with somebody because they're a different color of skin, how are you going to get along with people when you get to heaven? And some of these people I'm talking to are Christians. It really bothers me when they claim to be Christians and they can't stand black people, or they can't stand white people, they can't stand, you know, whatever color. It's mostly the black and white thing, you know. We all know how mankind is. And I always thought that was stupid. Did you really? I mean, I like the way society has changed recently, except for inner city society. But I remember when I was a young man, we were living in the suburbs, and some black families moved in the white neighborhoods. Yeah, some of my neighbors and some of my buddies were jerks about it, but I thought, well, that's pretty neat. They're acting just as cool as we are. Why can't we be all be friends, you know? Because I had a lot of black friends. Even as, you know, even some of the bikers that I hung with were like that. I mean, not, well, they were white, but they weren't always racist, but it's just amazing how people just don't get it. If you can't get along with people down here, you're not going to get along with them when you get to heaven. Because I wouldn't think a lot of color change is going to be going. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. We're going to have glorified bodies, and we'll know each other as we knew them down here. And so whether our skin color is going to change or not, who cares? You know? I just want to be home. You know, I'm sick of visiting this planet. So she goes on and finishes up by saying, we must seek to separate sin from us, relying upon the merits of the blood of Christ. And then in the day of affliction, when the enemy presses us, because he does, you know, it's going to come, she says, we shall walk among the angels. In other words, get used to doing it now with the little idiosyncrasies of your loved ones that kind of push your buttons, or get used to it the way your boss is always getting on your case, or your schoolmate, or co-workers, whatever the case may be. Get used to doing it now. Get used to biting your tongue or throwing up that prayer before you make a statement in regards to... because we've all done it. I still do it. People will say something, and boy, I tell you, some sentences are just forming in my mind, just getting ready to flow off the end of my tongue, and I'm going, I can't do that. I can't say that. Although you want to. But throw that prayer up there, and before you know it, you won't even think twice about not wanting to say it. So that when that day comes, if you're part of the Gideon band, boy, you're going to get some real zingers thrown at you. And, you know, I would imagine it's not going to be easy. You know, even if you got it in the back of your mind that you know you're never going to die, what does it matter when the hatred's all around you, and literally all around you, and they're going to mock you just for your faith? You know? Anyway, she says, they will be like a wall of fire about us. When when the enemy presses us, we shall walk among the angels. And then she says, they will be like a wall of fire about us. And we shall one day walk with them in the city of God. Amen and amen. Be back in a minute.